Q and Review, celebrating 40 years of audio production, welcomes you to this week's edition of the Glasgow Times Sports Podcast. Recorded from our studio in the Bishopbriggs Media Centre and by our volunteers working from home. Keep up to date with Q and Review news via our Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, or Instagram at Q and Review, that's @CUE ANDREVIEW, or get in touch with us directly by emailing information@qandreview.com. That's information@CUE ANDREVIEW.com, or by calling us on 0141 772 3979. Please like and share our podcast and give us constructive feedback.
Evening Times Sport, February 27. Celtic monitoring Turkey international keeper. Report by Mark Walker. Celtic are monitoring highly rated Turkish international keeper Ugurcan Kakia, according to reports in his homeland. The Hoops are on the lookout for a new keeper, with current number one Joe Hart announcing last week that he would be retiring at the end of the season. Reports in Turkey have suggested Celtic have had scouts at recent Trabzonspor games to look closely at their 27-year-old captain Kakia. Kakir has been with his current club for 12 years, but is widely expected to move on this summer to a bigger club. He was named as the keeper with the highest save percentage in Europe 2 years ago, and was linked last year with a move to Southampton, which fell through. He was previously linked with moves to Liverpool and Borussia Dortmund as backups. With 3 years left on his contract, he wouldn't come cheap and is regarded as a hero at Trabzonspor, having helped them win the Turkish League in 2022 and their cup 2 years earlier. However, the 26-time capped shot stopper is reportedly unsettled at the club because they are languishing 26 points behind leaders Galatasaray in third place. Meanwhile, Celtic keeper Benjamin Sigrist is reportedly a transfer target for Aberdeen. It's claimed that the goalkeeper is being considered as a possible signing target for the Pittodrie club this summer, with Kelly Roos out of contract at the end of the season. The Daily Record claims Sigrist features on a short list of transfer options should number one Roos decide to leave. The report states Aberdeen Director of Football Stephen Gunn and Head of Recruitment Chris Badlin are working on player targets as Pittodrie chiefs carry out a review before a new manager is appointed. Evening Times Sport, February 27. Why Clement was left baffled after he took over at Rangers. Report by Matthew Lindsay. Dujon Sterling has recalled how Philippe Clement was astonished he had not been playing for Rangers on a regular basis after he took over from Michael Beale as manager at Ibrox in October. Sterling, who moved to Glasgow last summer after his contract at Chelsea expired, featured in just 6 matches and only started in 3 games under Beale. However, the 24-year-old has been selected regularly in a number of positions by Clement in the past 4 months and has helped the Govan club to lift the Viaplay Cup, reach the last 16 of the Europa League and move to the top of the Cinch Premiership. The Englishman, who has been deployed at left back and in central midfield this term, has played on the right wing in the past two league games against St Johnstone and Hearts, and has contributed to 3-0 and 5-0 victories. Sterling was always hopeful he could make the breakthrough into the first team, but he admitted that it was only when the former Genk, Club Bruges and Monaco manager Clement came in that he really got his chance. He said, "It just shows you how quickly football can change. You just have to keep working every day, as I was doing. This gaffer has come in and seen what I was doing every day on the training pitch. He said to me, 'I don't understand why you aren't playing.' He had the confidence and the belief in me to play me. I've got to thank him." Sterling, who is set to be involved in some capacity with Rangers in the Premiership encounter with fourth place Kilmarnock at Rugby Park, has told how Clement is constantly pushing him to do better in training and games. The utility man has never scored a goal in senior football, despite having loan spells at Coventry City, Wigan Athletic, Blackpool and Stoke City in the past, and he admitted that he is desperate to get off the mark. He said, "No footballer wants to have a bad game. For me, it's just a case of trying my best. Even if I make a couple of mistakes on the pitch, all right, I'll just try and win the ball back. It's all about your reaction. That's what he's been drilling into my head in the past couple of months. He wants my reactions quicker, quicker, quicker. That's what I've been trying to work on every day in training. Scoring goals, that's the next step. Hopefully, if I do play in that midfield position again, I'll do better in that area. It's just a case of knowing where I am in the box and when I can pull the trigger. I've come close. Hopefully, it's coming sooner rather than later." Report by Matthew Lindsay. Evening Times Sport, February 27. Motherwell fans groups oppose proposals taking club from supporters. Report by Gavin McCafferty. Several groups of Motherwell fans have come together to oppose any proposals which would lead to the club slipping out of the control of supporters. Welsh Society members have been asked whether they would consider proposals which reduce their stake below 50% amid talks with two interested foreign investors. Both potential deals would ultimately take the fan ownership group's shareholding from 71% to below half. The club board sought investment after increased spending in recent years and in response to external investment at the likes of Hibs and Dundee United. A joint statement from Motherwell Boys, East Stand Motherwell Collective, and the Block E Ultras group read, "As a collective, we believe that supporter and community ownership is in the best long-term interest of the club. Whilst others may challenge this narrative for the hope of short-term glory, our position is firm and unyielding." The groups pointed out that Motherwell had gone into administration in 2002 after then-owner John Boyle launched an ambitious spending spree. And they added, "Our recent history is a stark reminder of what can happen when an individual wields too much control of a vital community asset that has a bearing impact on the lives of many. Since 2011, the Well Society have taken that work to the next level, ensuring that, unlike others in Scotland who have received significant external investment, we have remained a financially stable Premiership club. Whilst we welcome further investment into the football club, that must come from sources that won't tarnish our values, that will embrace our heritage, and not from those that may see our club as a short-term playground for their private investment." any investment proposal should not be to the detriment of what makes Motherwell Football Club a recognised important pillar of our community, a club that promotes positive mental health, holds out a hand to those in times of need, and provides a much-needed sense of belonging to fans near and far. An investment should not result in us parting with our majority shareholding. Motherwell Football Club is more than 90 minutes on a Saturday. Through fan ownership, we can ensure that every single decision made is with the fans' best interests at heart. We must protect that at all costs. We back the Well Society and the wider fan base to come together to grow our club and to drive us forward into the future. Report by Gavin McCafferty. Evening Times Sport, February 27. Rangers winger played partially sighted. Report by Matthew Lindsay. Rangers utility man Dujon Sterling has revealed that he played despite being partially sighted earlier this season due to a mystery eye condition which baffled specialists as he looked ahead to another important Sinch Premiership match against Kilmarnock. Sterling has established himself as a firm fan's favourite at Ibrox since Philippe Clement was appointed manager back in October and has won plaudits for both his willingness to play in any position and his outstanding performances. The former Chelsea kid, who had predominantly played at right-back and right-wing-back before moving to Glasgow on a free transfer last summer, was named man of the match in the Viaplay Cup final at Hampden in December after being deployed in central midfield. However, the 24-year-old has admitted that he was still struggling to see properly in that closely contested encounter with Aberdeen because of a medical issue which had sidelined him for most of the previous month. He said, "Back at the start of November, I woke up one day and had a couple of black lines in my eye. I think the term they use is floaters. It was still giving me issues for a couple of weeks. It was blurry at the top of my eye, so I couldn't really see anything on my right side. I said to the gaffer that I wanted to play, but say for example it was nothing in a game and in the last minute a ball comes over, I can't see it. I didn't want to affect the team by playing when I knew I wasn't 100% right." The manager said, "That's fine. He told me to take as much time as I needed to get it sorted and said that they'd fully support me. I saw a couple of specialists. They helped, but it just went away by itself. I think it was only after the cup final that it fully disappeared. Even in the cup final, I still had a tiny bit of it in the top corner, but now it's completely gone." Asked if doctors had been able to determine what the cause of the complaint was, Sterling replied, "They just couldn't say. Literally nothing. Even now, I don't know. I'll have another check-up in a couple of weeks. It's just a time thing. There was nothing that I needed to take. They said they could do laser eye surgery, but that might affect me when I was older, so I decided just to wait." Sterling took some time to adapt to playing in the middle of the park for Rangers when he got an extended run there after recovering from his eye complaint due to Jose Cifuentes, Ryan Jack and Tom Lawrence all being unavailable. However, the London-born footballer has had no difficulties making an impact on the right wing since, much to the surprise of supporters, being thrown on out wide by Clement in the Premiership match against St Johnstone in Perth earlier this month. He helped to set up the second goal in the 5-0 triumph over Hearts at Ibrox on Saturday, a result which kept his side 2 points ahead of Celtic at the top of the table, and is determined to make an impact in the league leaders' difficult meeting with fourth place Kilmarnock on the artificial pitch at Rugby Park tomorrow evening. And he continued, "When I'm playing wide, it's a lot easier to scan because you only need it to look one way. They say the line is your friend. I know that the line is there, so I just need to see where the defender is coming from on the other side. I'm happy to work on wherever I'm selected. It's fine by me. I just work every day and see if I can keep improving. I've got the coaching staff behind me to tell me what they think I'm doing right and wrong. Then we try to improve that." The versatile footballer is quite content to perform any outfield role in the Rangers team, and has taken confidence from the fact that his manager and his teammates, as well as supporters, have such faith in him. And he continued, "If you look at a lot of footballers around the world, some of them don't play in their preferred position all the time. It's just about being in the starting 11. If I have the shirt, even if it's not my favoured position, it doesn't really matter to me. It's a good thing that fans are talking about me, that they respect what I do and that they enjoy watching me play. There are only positives to take from that. Just having the belief from the top is important. It comes right down through the squad. The team has belief in me that I can play any position as well. They always joke about it in the changing room." Sterling admitted he was also buoyed by the support which he received from Clermont and Rangers after he was ordered off for a foul on Jack McKenzie at the end of the Premiership match against Aberdeen at Ibrox earlier this month. He believed the red card was excessive and was heartened that his manager defended him publicly afterwards, and that his club subsequently lodged an appeal to the SFA, even if the original decision by referee Don Robertson was upheld. He said, "It felt really good. Even the fans sent me messages saying they didn't think it was a red and that it was harsh. But it's done now. It's in the past. Now I know. Don't do that. Don't do any questionable thing. You never know what the referees are going to give." Rangers manager Philippe Clement knows that Dujon Sterling is going to give his all, regardless of where he plays them. Report by Matthew Lindsay. Evening Times Sport, February 27. St Mirren opened discussions over Quan extended Celtic loan. Report by David Irvin. St Mirren have opened discussions with Celtic over an extended loan deal for Quan. The midfielder has impressed in Paisley after making the move on loan until the end of the season, and Buddy's boss Stephen Robinson is hopeful he could remain at St Mirren beyond the summer. Robinson told the Daily Record, "He's someone we would really like to keep. We're speaking to Celtic about it, perhaps keeping him for another season with ourselves. We'd be very keen to do that, but he isn't our player and won't be our decision. We knew he'd have an influence. It was about getting him game time. He came to the country and has not played a lot. It's getting him used to Scottish football, long throws and long balls at times that he maybe is not used to. The physicality of our game. He has added that bit of quality and composure. It's something we'd be very keen to get done. It's possibly a long way off happening, but that would be in an ideal world for me." Meanwhile, Robinson could have captain Mark O'Hara back in his squad for the trip to Dingwall to face Ross County. The midfielder has been out through a thigh knock. He said, "We are hopeful we will have Mark back in the squad. He has been fantastic for me. He has struggled in the last few months with injury. He tried to play on with it, people don't realise that, the things that the boys go through for the football club. We just had to pull him out to get him 100% right. We are hopeful he is there now, and it's certainly a big boost to have him back. Report by David Irvin. Evening Times Sport, February 28. Chris Boyd opens fire at SFA. Report by Ewan Payton. Chris Boyd took aim at the Scottish FA after St Mirren were denied a penalty last night against Ross County. The Rangers hero quipped that Buddy's boss Stephen Robinson will be buzzing in a few weeks when the SFA admits an error was made by the on-field officials and VAR for missing the flashpoint. As the game headed for half-time, a long ball from St Mirren goalkeeper Zach Hemming appeared to be handled by Ross County's Ryan Leek inside his own area. The visitors claimed for a spot kick, but Chris Graham waved play on. Greg Aiken was in VAR duty for the game, but he did not send the referee to the pitch side monitor for a closer look. Boyd was left totally bemused by the situation, insisting it was a clear and obvious mistake not to award a penalty, as he criticised the SFA. Boyd told Sky Sports, "I know Greg Aiken is in VAR. That ball travels a long, long way. His hand is above his head. I cannot understand why that has not been given as a penalty kick, clearly off his hand, onto his head. VAR was brought in for clear and obvious. That is a clear and obvious handball. You are lost for words with it. I can understand when some teams say, oh, that is a penalty to them, and then it is not given. But that is a penalty all day long. They've got it wrong, but it will be fine because the SFA will come out in a couple of weeks and say they've got it wrong. I am sure Stephen Robinson will be buzzing with that." It comes just a fortnight after the independent review panel from the second round of Premiership mixed fixtures found that 13 errors had been made in relation to the usage of VAR. Ian Crocker offered a further explanation in his commentary of the game last night, which finished 1-1 in the Highlands. He said, "Just going back to that big penalty shout at the end of the first half, the VAR check was purely for the shirt pull, and they did not look for a handball." Report by Ewan Payton. Evening Times Sport, February 28. McGowan on the Rangers incident that left hole in his boot. Report by Ewan Payton. St Johnstone defender Ryan McGowan has lifted the lid on an incident against Rangers that left him with a hole in his boot. The Australian swung for the ball as he attempted to keep the pressure on the visitors after a St Johnstone attack. However, the 34-year-old's foot connected with Rangers defender Connor Goldson instead of the ball, and the English defender was awarded a free kick. The impact of that collision saw Goldson's stud pierce McGowan's boot, leaving him with a nasty gash at the top of his foot, which ruled him out of the 2-0 loss at St Mirren. He required stitches as a result of the incident, with his right boot left with a hole in it. Ahead of tonight's vital game at Aberdeen, the former Hearts player revealed the scar on his footwear, insisting he won't be throwing them out despite the damage. He said, "I got the stitches out today. There might be a few winces of pain, but I'm sure I'll get through the Aberdeen game fine. We're not in a position to be worried about things like that. I got a hole in my boot from the incident. That will help relieve the pressure on it. I like those boots, so I don't want to throw them out." Meanwhile, Chris Boyd took aim at the Scottish FA last night after St Mirren were denied what he felt was a clear penalty against Ross County. The Rangers hero quipped that Buddy's boss Stephen Robinson will be buzzing in a few weeks when the SFA admits an error was made by the on-field officials and VAR for missing the flashpoint. As the game headed for half-time, a long ball from St Mirren goalkeeper Zach Hemming appeared to be handled by County's Ryan Leake inside his own area. Report by Ewan Payton. Evening Times Sport, February 28. Matt O'Reilly, Celtic transfer asking price revealed. Report by Ewan Payton. Atletico Madrid were told to stump up £25 million if they wanted to sign Celtic star Matt O'Reilly in January, according to a report. The La Liga giants had a bid rejected for the Denmark international in the winter window. However, this was swiftly booted into touch by the Scottish champions. A new report has emerged, claiming the offer was an initial loan until the end of the season, with an obligation in place to permanently buy O'Reilly for £18 million this summer. Media outlet Tips Bladet has revealed some of the finer details of the negotiations, which certainly seem to have been short-lived. They claim that Atletico's bid was rejected almost immediately, as Celtic chiefs told their Spanish counterparts that they would only consider offers of £25 million. The report states that the La Liga side did not respond, as the potential for any deal to be done fizzled out. The player's contract in Glasgow's East End does not expire until the summer of 2027. He has notched up 10 goals and 12 assists this season. O'Reilly has also attracted interest from both Girona and Inter Milan in recent times. Just over 24 hours after Atletico's bid emerged, Brendan Rodgers revealed he won't be going anywhere. Evening Times Sport, February 28. Tavernier and Rangers goal record benchmark. Report by Ewan Payton. Rangers romped to a 5-0 victory over Hearts at the weekend as Philippe Clement's side continued their impressive form to remain top of the Premiership. January signings Mohamed Diamond, Oscar Cortes and Fabio Silva were all on the score sheet, with the ever-improving Cyril Dessert also among the goals with a brace. It was unusual for skipper James Tavernier not to be involved in the goal-scoring exploits of the Ibrox club in such a comfortable win, considering he has 120 to his name since joining in 2015 from Wigan Athletic. The Englishman is now level with John Gregg as the club's highest scoring defender of all time. But is he the highest scoring fullback at one club of all time? It would appear he is indeed. New research has shown that Tavernier is above the likes of Stuart Pearce and Roberto Carlos for his scoring tendencies at a single club. With 3 months left remaining of the season, he will certainly be looking to extend that record at the top of the pile. The list shows the highest scoring fullbacks at one club: Tavernier, Rangers, 120; Nelino Cruzeiro, 1973-82, 105; Manny Kaltz, Hamburg, 1971-89, 101. Stuart Pearce, Nottingham Forest, 1985-97, 88. Roberto Carlos, Real Madrid, 1996-2007, 69. If we take all defenders into account though, and not just home in on fullbacks, Tavani is third in the list. He is pooped by both Real Madrid hero Fernando Hierro and Lyon icon Wendy Renard. It is stated that the former could well have scored some of his goals when he plied his trade in midfield, but for Renard it's pretty clear that he scored all of the goals while playing as a centre-back. The highest scoring defender at one club, Fernando Hierro, Real Madrid, 89 to 2003, 129. Wendy Renard, Lyon, 2006 to the present, 124. James Tavernier, Rangers, 2015 to the present, 120. Nelino Cruzeiro, 1973 to 82, 105. Edgardo Boza, Rosario Central, 77 to 82 and then 86 to 89, 102. Manny Kalks, Hamburg, 71 to 89. Daniel Passarello, River Plate, 74 to 81. Sergio Ramos, Real Madrid, 2005 to 21, 101. What has also been made clear, though, is that despite being the highest scoring fullback for one club, Tavani is not the highest scoring fullback of all time. The 32-year-old's record from across his professional career is 128 goals, level with Real Madrid legend Roberto Carlos. The title goes to Brazilian right-back Nelino, who played during the 1970s and 80s. His total stands at a whopping 170 goals. Graeme Alexander, a former Scotland international and probably most familiar to us in recent times for his spell as Motherwell boss, is also slightly ahead of Tavernier on 131 goals. Report by Ewan Payton. Evening Times Sport, February 29. Benfica boss not giving a minute's thought to Rangers. Report by Mark Walker. Benfica boss Roger Schmidt insists he will not give a minute's thought to Rangers until just before the Europa League showdown, and he believes his team will relish their hectic schedule ahead of the round 16 clash. Benfica will have to play against Sporting Lisbon and Porto, both away from home, before they welcome Rangers to the Estadio da Luz next week. But German boss Schmidt insists he is not interested in studying Philippe Clement's side yet. He said, "We are not afraid of the calendar. That's part of my job, managing the schedule well. But I think I've already managed to do that in the last few weeks. We only think about the next game. I haven't thought about Rangers next week in Europe, or even Porto on Sunday, because I have to focus on one game. What is really pleasing me is the lack of injuries at this stage of the season. Currently, the only player unavailable is Juan Bernat. I think that is because we have managed the squad well and given rest to the players who need it. All my players are really in top shape." Meanwhile, Jose Cifuentes revealed he turned down moves to England, Russia and Turkey to resurrect his career in Brazil with Cruzeiro, and he insisted his debut for his new club was the first time he'd seen the sun for 6 months. The Ecuadorian midfielder was shipped out by Ibrox boss Philippe Clement back to South America after an underwhelming spell in Glasgow. Cifuentes was officially presented by his new club this week and revealed he had several offers to leave Rangers in January. He said, "There were two Russian teams who wanted to sign me. However, with the war that is going on there, it was something that could not be carried out, because European teams are not allowed to receive money from Russian clubs at the moment. There was a team from the English Championship interested, and a club from Turkey too. Report by Mark Walker. Evening Times Sport, February 29. Jose Cifuentes in Rangers weather gripe. Report by Mark Walker. Rangers flop Jose Cifuentes revealed he turned down moves to England, Russia and Turkey to resurrect his career in Brazil with Cruzeiro. And he insisted his debut for his new club was the first time he'd seen the sun for 6 months. The Ecuadorian midfielder was shipped out by Ibrox boss Philippe Clement back to South America after an underwhelming spell in Glasgow. Cifuentes was officially presented by his new club this week and revealed he had several offers to leave Rangers in January. He said, "There were two Russian teams who wanted to sign me. However, with the war that is going on there, it was something that could not be carried out because European teams are not allowed to receive money from Russian clubs at the moment. There was a team from the English Championship interested and a club from Turkey too, but it would have been alone for 5 months, which meant uprooting from family again after they had already had to adapt to Scotland, which would have been a problem. So I had to make the best decision for them, and that's why I'm here in Brazil. I made my debut for Cruzeiro last week, and it was sunny. I didn't experience the sun for the 6 months I was with Rangers. It was always cold. But my fitness is good, and I think I will adapt here easily. I like to play as an attacking midfielder, but positioning is something that I adapt to the team for whom I am playing." Report by Mark Walker. Evening Times Sport, February 29. Lighter and bottle opener and AirPod hurled onto pitch at Tynecastle. Report by David Irvin. Lawrence Shanklin was targeted with a lighter, an AirPod and a bottle opener as he waited to take a penalty kick for Hearts against Hibs last night. The Tynecastle striker had a number of missiles thrown in his direction from the visiting support during the Edinburgh Derby, and photographs from the match have uncovered a lighter, a bottle opener and AirPod were among the items launched in Shanklin's direction. Cups were also hurled into the penalty area. The Scotland international dispatched his penalty in front of the away support at Tynecastle, despite the items being thrown from the stands. The Hearts captain then took a joking bite from a pie thrown onto the pitch as he celebrated his 26th goal of the season. Hearts boss Stephen Naismith branded those responsible for throwing the items towards Shanklin as idiots, as he warned the small minority could spoil the party for everybody. And he continued, "All the stuff getting launched on is just not acceptable. If that then gets looked at, what's going to happen is they are just going to reduce the amount of fans that can go into that stand. And that's going to impact what I think is a good atmosphere, a good derby, which has a fierce rivalry. It's just idiots that are going to spoil the party for everybody." Discussing Shanklin's composure to finish from the spot after the missiles, Naismith added, "Before go on to that part, the calmness I spoke about, that's exactly it. The way he acts for the penalty and his calmness to find the net, these are the defining moments in these games." Hibs boss Nick Montgomery commented, "I do not condone it. Stephen does not condone it. Neither do the clubs. Unfortunately, there were a few things. Emi Marcondes had it in the first half as well, when we had serious pressure on them. but we don't want to talk about it. Report by David Irvin. Evening Times Sport, March 1. Rangers need big players at big moments. Report by Chris Jack. The big moments are reserved for the biggest players. Jack Butland and the save that he made in the win over Kilmarnock fall into those respective categories. In the fullness of time, the importance of both will become clear. If Rangers go on to lift the Premiership title in the coming weeks, events on Wednesday night will be painted as one of the most significant of the season. It was only another 3 points added to their tally, but it felt more profound than that. This was a match that previous incarnations of this side would have lost. But there is something different about the group that Philippe Clement has guided to top spot in the standings. Clement pinpointed four key attributes post-match. The first three, resilience, mentality and solidarity, applied to many of those who played their part in a dramatic comeback. The fourth one, quality in those defining passages of play, was more relevant to three men in particular. James Tavernier's free kick was classy, and the finish from Tom Lawrence was clinical. Yet both would arguably have been irrelevant had Butland not shown his own levels just seconds after the interval. Had Kilmarnock, ahead through a Danny Armstrong penalty, doubled their advantage, there may well have been no way back for Rangers. It made the save from a Matty Kennedy effort all the more imperative. Kennedy seemed destined to score with a strike from 12 yards, but Butland, as he has done so often this term, was there when his team needed him most. It didn't win Rangers the match, but it ensured that they would not lose it. "It's moments," Butland said when asked about the stop, made low to his right. "At this stage of the season, it's about moments. And a moment like that knocks the wind out of their sails, I guess, and gives us a bit of a lifeline. It would have been really difficult from there had that one gone in." But Tavernier has a moment. Tom has a moment. And that's what this part of the season is all about. We had those big moments when we needed them against Kilmarnock, and it got us the result in what's a tough place to play football. You just try not to give up the goal. You just try to get to the middle of your goal and keep your eye on the ball the best you can. He put a good contact on it, but it was at a nice distance for me. I wasn't quite at full stretch, but for me, it's about putting myself in those positions. That's what you train for. You don't go trying to chase after things. You just wait for things to come to you. And fortunately, I was in the right position to make that save. Butland has been in the right place at the right time throughout the season. The next 10 league matches will determine if he has a title medal around his neck, but the individual prizes will surely be his. So many plaudits have been already, and a return to the England squad would be a just reward for a standout performer at Ibrox. Before, during, and after the win over Kilmarnock, it was easy and obvious to cast minds back to events in August. Butland was put forward to speak to the media in the aftermath of the 1-0 loss and called for calm after a disastrous start to the season for Michael Beale's side. This time around, the mood and the messages are very different. A side that was hopeful, perhaps hopeless, title challengers now lead the way. Rangers have belief in their ability and courage of their convictions under Clement. a support that had written the Premiership off, can now dare to dream. Performances have changed, Butland said, as he referenced that opening day defeat, standing in the same section of the Rugby Park concourse several months on. From a fan's perspective, they can see we are trying to do things the right way. They can see that we are the better side in the games that we play. They can see the chances are coming. I think that's what they look for, and you get more and more belief the closer you get to the top. Ultimately, when you do get to the top of the table, the fans allow themselves to chant a little bit freer, if you like. But they have been unbelievable for us all year. At the start of the season, we needed to hear that booing because we were not good enough. But they have not failed to travel everywhere we've been, and they've brought the noise every time. Certainly in the last 3 or 4 months, it has been positive from every angle at the club, and that's what we're thriving on and loving. The manner of Rangers' last two wins could not have been more different, but they were equally as telling about where they are and where they are heading. The 5-0 win over Hearts at the weekend saw them blitz one of the forum teams in the division with admirable style. While the success at Rugby Park was more about substance, as Derek McInnes was denied another Old Firm scalp during Killie's terrific run, the questions that were asked were answered. Clement was typically level-headed afterwards. He will not make bold statements about the prospects in the Premiership, but there is no doubt that this was a difficult hurdle overcome. Indeed, in their last 15 matches, the only two that Kilmarnock have lost have both been defeats to Rangers. It does because they have been the bogey team for a few teams this season, Butland said when asked if it felt more significant than just 3 points. That's not by luck. They have it figured out what they do, and they do it really well. It's being disrespectful to them just to say you should go there and win. It's tough to go there and win. We found that out in the two previous games we played them. They are a dogged team, and they also have some real quality as well. They can punish you. It's just another 3 points, but yes, it's the 3 points that we needed against a team that have slipped up a few times this season, including us. So we had to get the job done. So it does feel a little bit bigger. Butland pointed to the fact that Rangers had come from behind to win in adversity as a telling takeaway from Wednesday night. He insisted there was no panic within the away dressing room at the interval. At that stage, Celtic were winning 6-0 at home to Dundee, and Rangers were losing their place at the top of the table. Events elsewhere do not matter to Clement. Rangers' destiny is very much in their own hands right now. The title is not quite within reach, but it could soon be theirs to grasp. Continued Butland, it was such a good feeling. Rugby Park is such a tough place to go to. They are a team that has it figured out. They make it difficult for you and don't give you a chance to breathe. If you're not quite at it, then it makes your life difficult. Fortunately, we got through to half-time relatively unscathed. We then had a big second half and we remained calm. I felt we were better in the second half when we played our normal football. And ultimately, we got the result we wanted. You do take more satisfaction from those kind of wins because it's not easy. Games like that do a lot for our confidence. They galvanise you a little bit more when it's a tough place to play, but you get the desired result. And at this stage of the season, the business end, it's about nothing more than getting the results. It certainly feels sweeter when you do have to come from behind. Not that we want to be doing that too often. Report by Chris Jack. Evening Times Sport, March 1. Jack Butland on England recall chances. Report by Chris Jack. Jack Butland admits an England cap call would be the icing on the cake for him this term, as he detailed the Rangers' love affair that has sparked prospects of an international return. The 30-year-old is in line to be named in Gareth Southgate's squad for the upcoming friendlies with Brazil and Belgium, after a stunning campaign that has seen him lead by example on and off the park at Ibrox. Butland made another match-winning stop in the victory over Kilmarnock on Wednesday night, as Philippe Clement's side maintained a 2-point lead over Celtic in the title race. It was the latest eye-catching moment in a season to remember for Butland, and he is now poised to return to the international arena more than 5 years after his last outing for his country. Boss Southgate is assessing his options between the sticks at present, amid doubts over Aaron Ramsdale and Nick Pope ahead of the European Championship this summer. Butland could get a chance to earn a seat on the flight to Germany, and the former Stoke and Crystal Palace star is enthused by the prospect of pulling on the jersey once again. "It doesn't seem that way to me quite yet," Butland said when asked if a recall was now a certainty, "but it would be amazing. I have always said I would love to get back there and be part of that again. I have never shied away from that. I have always said that my performances and playing regularly had to come first. But if that's enough to get me picked again, then I'll gladly put the kit back on and get back in the squad. I think the squad will be announced in 2 weeks, as it usually is on the Thursday before, and it would be really nice to be selected. I've not had any contact with any, but should it happen, it would give me a huge boost, there's no doubt about that. I'm in a great place, I'm loving my football, and loving how I'm doing and how I'm playing. I'm loving the general feel of everything here at Rangers, and it would be the icing on the cake if I could get back in there with England." Report by Chris Jack. Evening Times Sport, March 1. Dedicated judo coach wins award. Report by Sanda Suresh. A judo coach received an award while being surrounded by the young judoka who are thriving under her influence. Rebecca Bradley, who leads 2 of Clyde Judo's under 12 sessions each week at Clyde Judo Club in Paisley, was presented with Young Coach of the Year by Judo Scotland's club support officers Sam Ingram and Laura Kirkhouse. Laura said Rebecca is essential to the warm and inviting atmosphere that Clyde provides for the kids, and added, "From the moment Sam and I walked in to present the award, it was clear that Clyde is a club where children can really enjoy their judo and learn a lot about the sport." Rebecca's dedication extends beyond the club, as she devotes her time to coaching refugees in North Ayrshire through the Roetta Doyle Judo Foundation. Furthermore, she has conducted taster sessions in schools across Bishopton, Paisley and Renfrew, introducing numerous young individuals to the world of judo. Rebecca's achievements include pioneering the Clyde Summer Camp Programme, which saw participation rise from 12 in 2022 to 29 in 2023. She has also furthered her development by undergoing her Level 2 course and participating in the Judo Scotland Coaching Academy. She said, "I want to say thank you to all the kids at Clyde Judo. It is great to have such an amazing group to teach. I also want to thank all the other coaches at the club, especially Susan Wright, Paul Grady and Rebecca Lamb. I would not be the coach I am today without all your guidance, support and encouragement. My last thank you is to my mum. You have been my biggest supporter throughout my whole journey in judo, and I would not have achieved this without you. Report by Sandy Suresh.
From the Glasgow Times, Saturday the 2nd of March, from the sports section, Clement furious as Rangers ace injured by too dangerous tackle. Report by David Irvine. Furious Philip Clement branded Dan Casey's tackle on Ross McCausland as too dangerous as he demanded more protection for players from referees. The Ibrox winger, 20, was forced off in the first half after feeling the effects of a heavy challenge from the Motherwell defender. Casey escaped any punishment for the tackle, but Rangers were forced into an early change, with Fabio Silva replacing McCausland after 34 minutes. And Clement insists similar tackles have no place in the game, as he'd been warned red cards shown to his side for challenges with less intensity. There was too much intensity in that tackle, and he caught him, Clement told BBC Sport Sound. We got a few red cards this season already with less intensity than this, but now it was not even a foul or a yellow card. That's very disappointing. For sure it's disappointing to have to make changes in the first half. For him, for the team, you lose a moment also to arrange things you can use in the second half. These kind of tackles are just too dangerous for the game and you lose good players, so I think it is a task also for the referees to protect the game and to protect players because this is too dangerous. Clement added that Rangers will have to wait until tomorrow to discover the full extent of McCausland's injury, but confirmed it was serious as the player could not walk anymore. The Ibrox boss said, Ross, we need to see tomorrow. Of course, it's serious because he had to come off, he could not walk anymore, so there is a really, really hard contact. He doesn't come off in the first half for nothing. It's really clear that it was a serious foul. Report by David Irvine. From the Glasgow Times, Sunday the 3rd of March, from the sports section, Hearts 2, Celtic 0. Instant reaction to the burning issues by Matthew Lindsay, chief football writer. Celtic squandered the opportunity to reclaim top spot in the Saints Premiership from Rangers this afternoon when they crashed to a 2-0 defeat to third place Hearts at Tynecastle. With the Ibrox club being unexpectedly beaten 2-1 at home by Motherwell yesterday, the defending champions had an added incentive to triumph in Gorgie. A victory over Stephen Naismith's team in the capital would have taken Brendan Rodgers' side a point above their City rivals in the table, with 9 matches remaining. But Celtic slumped to their second league defeat of the season to Hearts, the first time that has happened since way back in 2007, after Adam Adaya had missed a spot kick and Yang Hyung-yu had been red carded. George Grant put the host 1-0 ahead with a spot kick 2 minutes before half-time, when a VAR check showed that Tomiki Iwata had handled the ball inside his own area. Hearts captain Lauren Shankland, who had earlier had a goal ruled out for offside, doubled his side's lead in the second half. Here are 5 talking points from an incident-packed encounter which will have massive ramifications in the Scottish title. VAR to the fore. Hearts fans went from cursing VAR to applauding it in the space of 4 frenetic first half minutes. They were incensed when referee Don Robertson awarded a penalty against them early on after Yang went to ground following a challenge by Alex Cochrane. Over at Clydesdale House in Glasgow, though, VAR official John Beaton saw nothing wrong with the decision after watching a replay. Ida, who had netted twice from the spot in the 2-1 triumph over Hibernian at Easter Road last month, stepped forward to take it and chose to shoot straight down the middle. Xander Clark died to his right but saved the attempt with his outstretched legs. Yam was booked for a foul in Cochrane moments later, but Robertson was urged to view the flashpoint again by Beaton, and he upgraded the yellow to a red after having a look at his pitchside monitor. The South Korean looked disconsolate as he trudged up the tunnel, but he could have no complaints about his punishment. His boot was high and caught his opponent in the side of the face. It was not malicious, but it was serious for Phil Play. There were more VAR drama shortly before half-time, when Beaton spotted that Iwata had handled inside his own area. Robertson had another look and gave the host a chance to net from 12 yards. Grant made no mistake as Hart supporters goaded their Celtic counterparts in the Wakefield stand with chants of, "It's a conspiracy." That, though, was not the last timer that the new technology was used in the first half. Shankland had a goal he netted and added on time disallowed when it was shown he had been in an offside position when Alan Forrest played the ball through to him. Big Mac loss. Rodgers revealed on Friday that his captain McGregor had missed training at Lennoxtown due to Achilles and calf issues, and the worst fears of supporters were confirmed before kick-off today, when he was not named in the matchday squad. This was the first league game the Scotland midfielder had sat out in the entire 2023-24 campaign. The man who is consistently among the most played footballers in the world game every season is set to be sidelined until after the international break later on this month. Paolo Bernardo took his place in the starting lineup alongside Tomiki Iwata and Matt O'Reilly in what was the only Celtic change. Could the Portuguese player fill a massive void in the centre of the park and ensure his skipper was not missed? Bernardo worked hard to create an opening which his teammates could capitalise on, but he was replaced by Kyogo Furuhashi at the start of the second half as Rodgers went on the offensive in an attempt to get the 3 points. The presence and influence of McGregor, who watched proceedings from behind the away dugout, was badly needed. Hart's heart. Naismith made no fewer than 5 changes, 2 of which were injury enforced, to the Hearts team which had taken to the field in the Edinburgh Derby on Wednesday night. Frankie Kent and Kenneth Vargas were unavailable due to the knocks he suffered in midweek, and Nathan Atkinson, Cammy Devlin and Scott Fraser dropped to the bench. Kai Rose, Tony Sibbick, Dexter Limbiskisa, George Grant and Benny Banigimi came in. Freshening up his side worked wonders. Yes, they were helped by having a numerical advantage for most of the fixture, but they effectively nullified the threat their rivals posed going forward and created numerous scoring chances. Joe Hart had a busy afternoon. Hearts were deserved winners. Shankland for Scotland. The Hearts captain is sure to be included in the Scotland squad that travels to the Euro 2024 finals in Germany this summer if he avoids picking up an injury between now and June. But should the striker start for his country ahead of Shea Adams and Lyndon Dykes going forward? He has given the national team manager Steve Clarke much to ponder with his current form. His second half strike took his tally for this term to 27. He has now netted 10 times in 10 appearances in 2024. Clarke would be well advised to hand the 28-year-old extensive game time in the friendlies with the Netherlands and Northern Ireland later this month and see how he fares. And Clarke too. Angus Gunn should, having recovered from the injury which kept him out of the final Euro 2023 and 2024 qualifiers against Georgia and Norway back in November, get the nod to start for Scotland ahead of Xander Clarke in the Johan Cruyff Arena and Hampden. But the Hearts keeper showed the Norwich City man he has stiff competition for his berth today. He did well to keep Adai's penalty out in the first half and denied the Republic of Ireland internationalist twice, and Japanese striker Furuhashi with excellent saves in the second. And that report was by Matthew Lindsay. From the Glasgow Times, Saturday the 2nd of March, from the sports section, Rangers 1, Motherwell 2, instant reaction to the burning issues, by Graeme McGarry. Motherwell shocked Rangers to blow the title race wide open as goals from Theo Blair and Dan Casey either side of a James Tavernier penalty gave the visitors a shock win at Ibrox. It was the first time that the Steelmen had defeated Rangers on league duty since Boxing Day 2002 and their first league win at Ibrox since 1997. They had to ride their luck at times, but given how off-colour Rangers were on the day, it was hard to argue against the notion that both sides left Ibrox with what they deserved for what they had put into the contest. Here are the talking points from a stunned Ibrox. Dan Casey the hero, but should Ibrox villain have been on the pitch? Motherwell had been threatening to move back ahead on the counter as Rangers desperately tried to find a winner, but you'd have got long odds on it being centre-back Casey who would pop up to stun Ibrox. Beer was denied at the end of one of those Motherwell breaks by a last gasp corner Goldson block, but Rangers failed to deal with the corner and Motherwell worked the ball back to the right hand side. Lennon Miller swung it to the back post and there was Casey to nod home and send a band of Well fans in the corner wild. And it had been coming. The question is though, should Casey have been on the park to score it? When the ball broke between the hulking Motherwell defender and the whippet-like Ross McCausland for a 50-50 in the first half, you didn't fancy the Rangers youngsters' chances. So it transpired, as Casey went to ground and cleaned out ball and man. In real time, it looked a fair enough challenge if a little robust. But, on closer inspection, it looked more than a little bit naughty from Casey, who made sure he was going to take his man long after the ball had left the area. With McCausland down injured, referee Alan Muir, who incensed the home crowd on more than a few occasions, signalled to his ear that VAR were indeed checking the incident but no further action was taken, much to Casey's relief, and to much surprise around Ibrox. Motherwell deserve the credit, but Rangers only have themselves to blame. The Rangers support rolled up to Ibrox in expectant mood, with the parading of club legend Stephen Davis prior to kickoff adding to the festive atmosphere. It was one thing though if the home fans thought the hardest hurdle of the week had already been cleared at Rugby Park, but it seemed the players in blue had also turned up expecting to make light work of Motherwell. In fact, they looked startled that Stuart Kittlewood's side had other ideas, and right from the off, they looked to a threat with the clever movement of Jack Vale and the power of Bear. And it was those two who combined to stun Ibrox by giving the visitors an early lead. Vale leaned into John Souter under a ball played up the channel, with the Rangers defender committing himself far too eagerly and ending up missing the ball altogether to allow his opponent a clear run into the box. The unknown Blackburn Rovers forward got his head up and squared for Bear, arriving into the middle to side-foot home off Jack Buckland's post. It wasn't the cleanest of finishes, but the big Canadian cared not a jot as he bounded away to celebrate his 10th of an impressive season. The duo of Vale and Bear gave Goldson and Souter nightmares all day, with the Rangers centre-backs epitomising the lacklustre nature of the Rangers' performance. In such a vital game, it was an unforgivable display, and one that may have handed the title race momentum back to Celtic. What shouldn't be lost though is that Motherwell absolutely nailed their manager's game plan to perfection, and, while the bigger story may be at the top end of the table, it is the Steelmen who deserve a massive pat on the back. Gers failed to take advantage of VAR lifeline. For all the rage around Ibrox at the decisions that may have gone against Rangers on the day, and a lot of it justified, it was VAR that looked to have ridden to the rescue of the host as he toiled for a leveller at the start of the second half. The ball was worked to Fabio Silva at the back post, where he looked primed for a strike at goal, with Motherwell defender Stephen O'Donnell desperately trying to get across the block. Silva hurdled the challenge, but with the home fans screaming for a penalty, referee Muir turned away and the play raged on. When it went out for a throw though, the obligatory VAR check started to drag on, with, the longer the delay, the likelier it appeared that the award would be given. Still, it was a good 3 minutes before Muir eventually trotted over to the VAR screen, and he gave the incident a good old look before eventually deciding that there had been an infringement. Penalty Rangers, as they say around these parts, which usually only has one outcome. Tavernier surpasses John Gregg, but it is a footnote on the day. It will be cold comfort to him, but what it tells us that they say about the goal-scoring prowess of the Rangers captain. His spot kick conversion here took him to 122 goals in blue, taking him ahead of the greatest ever Ranger as the club's highest scoring defender of all time. Sure, a lot of them have been penalties, but you've still got to tuck them away, and he did so under severe pressure here with his usual aplomb, finding the top right hand corner to give Rangers half an hour to find a crucial winner. Instead, though, it was Motherwell who would come up with the telling moment and, after some late Liam Kelly heroics, an incredible miss from Goldson and a goal line clearance from Paul McGinn, they got their reward. An article was written by Graham McGarry and read by me, Ian. From the Glasgow Times, Saturday the 2nd of March, from the sports section, Sutton and Celtic blame game verdict after Lowell exit, by David Irvin. Chris Sutton reckons Mark Lowell's exit points to an answer to the club's January transfer window blame game. Parkhead chief Peter Lowell had admitted his frustrations over a slow transfer window, with just Nicholas Kuhn and Adam Ida joining the club. And Sutton reckons the questions looming over the lack of business have been answered through Lowell Jr.'s resignation from the club. The talent spotted is on gardening leave from his high-ranking head of recruitment role, with scout Joe Dudgeon also departing the club having handed in his notice. For Sutton, Lowell has fallen on his sword at a Celtic, despite wording that he would pursue fresh challenges in the club's official statement on the matter. Sutton told the Daily Record, "There are questions over who was to blame for January and the window last summer. Now it looks like we have the answer." Celtic might say Pete Mark Lowell is leaving to pursue other opportunities, but it looks like he's fallen on his sword. There was an inevitability about this after Peter Lowell's statement in the interim accounts. The chairman said the club shared the frustration about the lack of signings in the window when Brendan Rodgers had said he needed 4 quality recruits. The big question was why, and who was to blame? I think we now know. A Celtic club statement confirmed, Celtic Football Club today announced that Mark Lowell, head of first team scouting and recruitment, and Joe Dudgeon, lead first team scout, have resigned from their positions and are leaving the club to pursue fresh challenges. Mark was recruited to the club by then manager, Ange Postecoglou, in May 2022 from his position as head of CFG scouting and recruitment within City Football Group's global structure. Joe joined from City Football Group in November 2022. Mark and Joe will be in a period of gardening leave. Manager Brendan Rodgers said, "As part of the club's recruitment team, Mark and Joe have worked tirelessly to bring success to Celtic, and I would like to wish them both the very best for the future." And Chief Executive Michael Nicholson added, "Everyone at Celtic thanks Mark and Joe for their contribution and dedication to the club, and we wish them both every success moving forward." And that article was written by sports writer David Irvin.
Evening Times Sport, March 4. Gemma Urike forced to settle for silver. Report by Press Association. Gemma Urike delivered a fitting finale at the World Athletics Indoor Championships with a thrilling 800 metres silver last night in Glasgow. Urike started as a pre-race favourite, but she was edged out for gold by Ethiopia's Zigi Duguma, who led from start to finish in a time of 2 minutes 1.9 seconds. Urike was simply unable to get past, and she could not match Duguma's burst of speed down the final straight. The Renfrewshire runner ran considerably faster in both her heat and semi-final, with a time of 1 minute 58.28 on Saturday, the fastest qualifying time in the field. But Duguma was able to dictate a slower pace, and despite the roar of the home crowd, Urike was made to settle for silver. Said Urike, "It was a bit of a weird race. I should be happy with a silver, but I stood on the track wanting gold and put up a hard fight for it. I knew those girls were going to throw something at me, that they were confident and they were just better than me today. Duguma was really strong and it gives me something to look at for the summer. It will keep me working hard and keep those eyes on those Olympic medals. I stood on that track and didn't want anything other than the win. But a first senior world medal, I have made some mistakes and I will learn something from it. It is unpredictable, but that is what is going to happen with all these girls running so fast and more coming through. They are going to make it unpredictable, and it's a good lesson to learn. I really wanted to walk away with a gold medal in front of this home crowd, but it's my first senior medal, and I'll take it." Despite her slight disappointment after running so well leading up to the final, Urike remains in a good position for this summer's Olympics, where she will hope to upgrade her heartbreaking fourth place finish from the last games in Tokyo. Fellow Brit Keely Hodgkinson has taken much of the focus in the women's 800 metres, which promises to be one of the events of the Games, with Olympic champion Aething Mu and world champion Mary Moran also strong contenders. But Ricky will be confident she can challenge that trio after an impressive indoor season that also saw her claim the British title in a championship record time of 1 minute, 58.24 seconds. I have got one senior medal now, and I definitely want one of those Olympic ones. This is a stepping stone. I will have a bit of a down week this week, but then it is all eyes on Paris. I will head out to Portugal where I do my training and get that work done. I think I needed some more experience with racing, and we saw that. I made some mistakes, but every race I am learning and getting so much better. Everyone can see that. I am not afraid to shy away from what I wanted gold today, and that showed how far I've come. Ricky grew up just 15 miles away in Kilbarchan and felt the full force of the home crowd as they cheered her round the track she is so familiar with. And she said, "It's so nice to be back in Glasgow. I am someone who just loves racing, and every day everyone was laughing at me in the hotel because I was so excited to get back out on the track. I have loved every single minute of it. It is so refreshing to be back here, running every day, really happy and in really good shape. My grandpa is here, and he doesn't come to many races unless they're in the Emirates Arena. So it is going to be so special being on that podium. It has taken an army to get me here, and I'm so grateful for my family and close friends." Evening Times Sport, March 4, Celtic's McGregor to get injury scan. Report by Matthew Lindsay. Brendan Rodgers has admitted that injured Celtic captain Callum McGregor is likely to miss Scotland friendlies against Netherlands and Northern Ireland later this month. Rodgers revealed on Friday that Parkhead captain McGregor had missed training due to Achilles and calf injuries, which arose in the wake of his side's 7-1 thrashing of Dundee in midweek. The Scottish champion skipper set out his first Cinch Premiership match of the campaign at Tynecastle yesterday and watched his teammates slump to a 2-0 defeat to Hearts. His manager explained the midfielder will go for a scan later this week after the loss, but confessed that he does not expect him to be available for selection until after the international break. He said he will have another scan on Wednesday. I don't think it will be long term, but it may last through to the international break. Asked if he would miss the Scotland games, he said, "I don't know. He may well do. He has a further scan on Wednesday, and then we will get to see where it's at. If he's not going to be involved for us, he obviously will not be involved for Scotland." Rodgers, who was furious with the red card which Yang was shown and the penalty Hearts were awarded for a Iwata handball, brought in Paulo Bernardo for McGregor and was pleased with how Celtic performed without their talismanic captain. "I think the players fought and gave everything," he said. "Clearly Callum is a really influential player for us, but the guys gave their all. They gave everything and fought right to the very end. We showed the spirit we had to show. It was a game that can run away from you because of the atmosphere and everything else, and at the end of a really long week. A tough week of games with Motherwell last Sunday and the midweek game. You don't want to go down to 10 men after 15 minutes or so. The players gave everything. The fight is there, the quality is there. we will have other opportunities to show that. Meanwhile, Rodgers, whose team passed up the opportunity to leapfrog Rangers into top spot in the Premiership, has predicted there will be more twists and turns before the Scottish title race is decided. And he continued, "Absolutely, we would never have said Rangers lost to Motherwell at home that they would lose. Everything I hear is that they're going to win every single game through to the end of the season. But we know it's not about us. It's still very much in our hands. We've got 12 games to go, 9 league games, and we want to be in the cup final on May 25. We will fight for every competition we will be in. We had the chance to go top. It was unfortunate the way the game panned out for us. We now have to recover and go away and get to the Scottish Cup semi-finals next weekend." Report by Matthew Lindsay. Evening Times Sport, March 4. Motherwell's Casey dismisses Rangers' red card claims. Report by Graeme McGarry. Motherwell goal hero Dan Casey says he was never concerned about being ordered off for a challenge on Ross McCausland during his side's shock win over Rangers at Ibrox, because he would never intentionally hurt an opponent. The Rangers youngster was forced from the action during the first half of Saturday's match after a coming together with the Motherwell centre-back, with Casey cleanly winning the ball, but sparking protests from the home players and technical area with his follow-through in the challenge. The incident was reviewed by VAR, and no action was taken against Casey, infuriating Rangers manager Philippe Clement, who called for greater protection for his players. Casey would go on to head the winning goal in Motherwell's 2-1 victory, but when asked if he was worried he might not have been on the pitch to score it, Casey said, "No. One of the Rangers coaching staff said something to me after the game about it. I did not really listen or hear what they said, but I think it was something about what happened with the tackle. But I only went in to win the ball. I never went in to hurt anyone. I'm not that type of person. If you see it back, you can see I won the ball. I would never ever try to hurt anybody. As a person, that's not what I'm about. I only had eyes for the ball. I play hard and I go in hard. That's just how I am." Casey aped the referee's signal for a VAR review during the celebrations for his goal, a tongue-in-cheek reference to the penalty award that had temporarily dragged Rangers' level in the game, which the defender felt was soft, to say the least. And he continued, "To be honest, I don't even know what happened. I don't think it was a penalty at all. We were laughing after the game saying, 'What happened?' I've honestly no idea what he gave it for. We cannot even speak to the ref now, or else you get a yellow card. I just needed to bite my tongue and just keep going. We managed to score another goal and see it out, so it was good." While Casey hogged the headlines for his winning goal and his involvement in the game's moment of controversy, scorer of the opening goal, Theo Barr, who also played a huge part in Motherwell's victory. The striker dominated Rangers centre-back Conor Goldson throughout the game, and Casey said that manager Stuart Kettlewell is now being rewarded for the faith he placed in Bear following his disappointing spell at St Johnstone. He said, "He was absolutely unbelievable for us. He held the ball up so well and got us up the field. He can do both. He can hold the ball up and he can also run in behind. That is a luxury we have with him, especially when we're under the cosh. He's brilliant for us and he's been scoring goals recently as well. Long may it continue." I know some people were maybe writing him off at the start of the season or whatever, after his time at St Johnstone. But sometimes it just doesn't work at certain clubs. It doesn't make you a bad player. The gaffer obviously brought him in here and gave him a chance. We all see how good he is in training every day. I think it was only a matter of time until he showed that. The manager is great with his man management skills. He has a great relationship with Theo. Another standout performer for Motherwell, once again, was youngster Lennon Miller, who showed a composure way beyond his years, and Casey has been just as impressed by his recent contributions as those of Bayer. He said, "He's been brilliant. He's playing like a 38-year-old veteran instead of a 17-year-old kid. It's incredible. He's got a maturity on the pitch that is way beyond his years. He helped control the game for us at times. Our midfield was great in general. It was a proper team performance from us. When you come away from home against the likes of Rangers, you need everyone to be at it. If you're not at it, you'll get punished. But we all dug in and got a great result." Lennon works hard at his game. In terms of how far he goes in the game, that's up to him. He's got all the ability in the world and a great attitude as well. He's in a good place. He's playing every week now and doing well. The manager and staff are looking after him well. He can go as far as he wants. I see him in training every day, and he still shocks me, to be honest, in terms of how good he is for his age. Report by Graeme McGarry.
That concludes this week's edition of the Glasgow Times Sports Podcast. Please remember to subscribe to our channels at Q&Review and to tell your friends about our service.